Father, what a privilege to come to your presence with brothers and sisters and adult and children all together, gather here to remember who you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we can call God Almighty as our Father who is in heaven, because you sent your Son Jesus to be our Savior and Lord, so that we would be adopted into the family of God by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ you have started, Father. And we know this because of the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, and who enable us to call God Almighty Abba Father. We would never take it for granted, this privilege of free worship. And may your Spirit hover over us to speak to us and give us guidance according to your will. And we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and your kingdom come soon as we look for the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we commit all our heart to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The very purpose of our existence and everything we do points to this one thing that has eternal value in and of itself. And this one thing matters to God the most, and thus matters to us as well. What is this one thing? It is worship. And it is the only activity that transcends all dimensions of reality, space, time, and matter. And it is the purpose for which we were created, and it is the purpose for which we were redeemed. In other words, it is the reason why God sent His only Son to save us from sins, so that we may worship God. And it is the reason why we go out the street to evangelize people who do not know God, because they do not know God. And evangelism and mission have the goal. The goal is to bring the people to worship God. And it is the reason why we gather on Sunday morning. And it is the reason why we go to work. And it is the purpose for which we do study Bible, so that we may know God, because the depths of, the deeper we know of God, the deeper our worship will become. And it is the only activity we will continue to do in all eternity, beyond our earthly life. And we will stop evangelism in heaven, and we will stop mission in heaven, we will stop Bible study in heaven, but we will continue to worship God forever in the kingdom of God. So everything we do on earth matters ultimately and eternally to God, and therefore to us. And that is to the worship God. So if we are not successful in worshiping God, no matter how successful we are in other areas of life, we cannot say that our life is success. Conversely, if we are successful in the worship of God, our life is successful because we get the most important thing and most important priority of life with success. So worship outweighs all other things. And today we'd like to talk about worship according to Jesus from Gospel of John chapter 4. And we need to pay attention to what Jesus say of worship. And he is shifting the paradigm in regards to worship. And all the worship notation that Jewish people had, now it's shifting when Jesus says these words. Jesus defines what a true worship is. With that in mind, would you please turn with me to Gospel of John, chapter 4. We are going to read verses 23 and 24. Gospel of John 4, 23 and 24. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This passage was what Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman in Samaria. There are a couple of amazing facts behind the story. The first amazing fact is that Jesus was in Samaria. Most pious religious leaders in Jesus' time would make their best effort to bypass the land of Samaria because Jewish people believed Samaria was the land of the unholy, filled with the defiled people. And second amazing fact is that Jesus was speaking about a true worship to a woman, the sinful Samaritan woman who had five husbands in her life. And another important context we need to understand is that the key issue of worship in Jesus' time was where to worship God. The Jews thought the only legitimate place of worship was a temple in Jerusalem, which Samaritans disagreed. With these backgrounds, let us focus on the teaching of Jesus concerning a true worship. Let us look at this word, proskuneo, which is what Jesus rendered when he said worship, proskuneo. Proskuneo is a compound word comprising pros and kuneo, as you see. And pros is a proposition meaning to or toward. And kuneo is a verb meaning to kiss. So proskuneo literally means kiss, toward, or kiss to. And this word was used to designate the custom of prostrating oneself before persons and kissing their feet or hem of their garment or even to the ground. And Persians did this in the presence of their deified king and the Greeks before a divinity or something holy. And in Jesus' time, this word proskuneo, worship, was also used in the worship of Caesars. And if you recall, the Hebrew word hallelujah and halal is actually praise and has same meaning as proskuneo. And both words emphasize the form of worship, which is basically bow down before God or prostrate oneself before God in full reverence and complete obedience. But Jesus didn't say just worship, proskuneo, in generic way. He is defining a true worship here in the Gospel of John. As the word proskuneo was also used to connote, to just bow down before idols or even before a man of authority like Caesar's, Jesus is making an important clarification as to what true worship is all about. Generic word worship is not enough to define what a true worship is all about. And there are three key truths Jesus is casting to us in order for us to understand what true worship is all about. The first truth is the true worshipers must worship the Father. You know, as you hear many people's prayer today, including Lindsay and Caitlin and myself and Sophia, we all call God the Father. But the true worshipers must worship the Father. This is a relational dimension. What does that mean? You know, what is remarkable about this fact that we must worship the Father, and only God the Father has to be the sole object of worship. There are many things people worship. There are many religions in the world. Some people worship Satan, some people worship Hindu gods, and some people worship Buddha, and some people worship Allah, and some people worship reasons and science, and some worship money, and some worship their children, and some worship even themselves. But none of these worships are a true worship, because all this worship failed to worship the Father. And according to Jesus, there is only one true object of our worship, the Father, our Heavenly Father, God. And everyone, everything else cannot be regarded as a true object of our worship. And they are all false worship. They are generic worship. They have form, but they don't have the true meaning of worship. That's what Jesus is talking about here. The flip side of this, in other words, the sole object of true worship is the Father, is that the only legitimate and true worship of the Father is that of the children who know their Father. We call God as our Father because we know Him as Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. The Father of Jesus Christ, the Son, has become our Father as well because of the relationship Jesus Christ imparted to all people who believe in His name. And only those who believe in Him will be the legitimate children of God Almighty, now we call Father. We are adopted into the family of God by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And only then we can really call God Almighty as our Father who is in heaven. And that constitutes a true worship. So unless Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and therefore you have become children of God, the Father, there will be no true worship. And the God we worship has to be the Father of Jesus Christ, the Son. In that sense, Buddha or Allah or anything else cannot be a true God, because Jesus never meant to worship them. And only His Father, and who has become our Father because of His work on the cross, is the sole object of our worship. That's why Jesus said, the true worshipers must worship the Father. And this is a relational dimension of what true worship is all about. This relationship is so important. We cannot worship God who we do not know. We have to know this God through Jesus Christ. And there's a second truth Jesus is talking is, the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit. This is a spiritual dimension. What does it mean in spirit? In the Gospel of John, John 4:24, God is spirit, so our worship should be in spirit. That's what it means, basically. Because God is spirit, our worship has to be spiritual. That's what it means, in spirit, in a nutshell. So in spirit means in the realm of God. Since God is spirit, a true worship has to be spiritual. So worship has to be done in the manner that we are in the same wavelength as God. And thus the Holy Spirit has to be the agent of a true worship. Without Holy Spirit, we cannot really worship God in spirit. And there are two important ministries of the Holy Spirit for us. The first is the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who indwells us so that we have the conviction that we are children of God. That's the work of a Holy Spirit called indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:15, you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, we call Abba, Father. Abba in Korean, actually, is the same word as Hebrew. And many languages has the same Abba. Abba is a father. It's the most intimate term. We just don't call Father, but Abba, Father. Because we know Father. We love Father, and we know that Father loves us. That's why we call Abba, Father, through Jesus. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, who gives us this conviction and courage to call God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and universe, as our Abba Father. So unless we are born of the Spirit, we cannot worship the Father. And it is the Holy Spirit who quickens us so that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Many people accept that Jesus is a historical figure and He's Son of God, but that's not enough. The Holy Spirit has to indwell us so that He convinces us and gives us courage to call Father from the bottom of our heart that He is our God. So a true worship is only possible when indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit prompts us to worship the Father. And the second important ministry of the Holy Spirit is called empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps, I believe this is what Jesus had in mind when He said, true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit. The opposite of spirit is the flesh in the Bible. So if we understand what is flesh, the flip side of that is spirit. So we'll understand better in spirit, the term in spirit means. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, we are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So in the flesh means life that is lived according to our fleshly way. In the flesh is a life that is controlled by our own fleshly desire. Our flesh always try to satisfy our needs first. And our fleshly way is put ourselves, the most important person, to please. So our fleshly way is a selfish way. And it is a natural way. It is a worldly way, and it is a sinful way. This is what the world, the vast majority of the people in the world, are chasing after, fleshly way. They want to satisfy their appetite first. So in spirit is the opposite of that. And in spirit is best understood with the life that is being controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit, so that we would understand the desire of God and the priority of God before we think about our own need. And so when we submit ourselves in the presence of and to the control of the Holy Spirit, overcoming the desire of our flesh, we would become a true worshiper of God. So the Holy Spirit has to be the primary agent of a true worship. Without Holy Spirit, we cannot really worship God. Because God is Spirit, we have to be spiritual in our worship. The Holy Spirit's indwelling worship and Holy Spirit's empowering worship is a true worship. So that's why we call this a spiritual dimension, which is very important aspects. But Jesus did not just stop here. He put another words, the third truth. The true worshipers must worship the Father in truth. Not just in spirit, but also in truth. And I would say this is a theological and ethical dimension. The word truth or true appear in the Gospel of John 56 times. There are only 181 times in the entire New Testament, but John put 56 out of 181 in his gospel to really emphasize and try to teach us what truth is all about. John 1:17 says, "The law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." And John 1:9, "The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world." The true light. And John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." And John 17:17, this is Jesus' prayer to his Father before he died on the cross. He says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy words is truth." And the Gospel of John, Jesus repeatedly says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." So the word spoken by Jesus is the basis of the truth. But most importantly, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So in truth has to do with who Jesus is and what Jesus says and what he has done. So in truth means the manner of our life that is completely aligned with the truth Jesus taught us and with the truthfulness of Jesus as a person, as a moral and ethical person who would not lie, who did not deceive, but always remain in the truth. So that's why this is a theological and ethical dimension. When Jesus is at the center of our life, we become the true worshiper in truth. When we are in Jesus, Jesus is in us. Therefore, we become a true worshiper in Christ, the truth. And John 8:32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my words, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we know that we cannot think of truth apart from Jesus himself. Who Jesus is and what he says and how he lived, it all comes down to define the world in truth. So a true worshiper of the Father in truth is committed to follow the life of Jesus the Son. So we cannot just casually just praise God without following Jesus, because then we are not really a true worshiper who worships the Father in truth. We have to always live in the realm of Jesus Christ and follow him to be his true disciples, and we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So let's summarize. So a true worship is only possible when the Father God is the sole object of our worship, while the Holy Spirit is in control of us, and by the allegiance to Christ's truth in our life. So that's why life is worship and worship is life. You know, worship is more than just praising. Praising is an important part of it. We know that from David's worship. He gave extravagant praise to the Lord. But worship is more than praise. Worship has to be life itself. And our life should be worship itself. We cannot separate our life from worship. And true worship has three dimensions as we looked into. Relational. We have to know who we are worshiping. God Almighty is our Heavenly Father. And second dimension is spiritual dimension. Because Holy Spirit has to be the agent of our worship. And third is theological and ethical dimension. We have to remain in the truth of Jesus' teaching and follow Him in all truthful manner as much as we can to be moral and ethical, just like Jesus. What Jesus do, we do. What Jesus wouldn't do, we wouldn't do. That has to be followed in our life itself. And a true worship also reflects our fellowship with the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Spirit and the Son are all involved in different roles, but in perfect unity. That's why and only the Trinitarian worship is a true worship. That's why I just say, based on what Jesus says, all other worships in the world, generic worship or worship of none other than the Father, they are all false worship. So what does that mean? What does that mean from this heavily theological implication Jesus has taught us according to John, Gospel of John? You know, God is your Father, God is my Father, God is our Father. You know what that means? That means He loves you, He loves me, He loves us. That means He protects you, protects me, and He protects all of us. That's what Father means. That's what Father does. So, cast all your fears and anxieties and doubts and depressions in the love of your Heavenly Father. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. We are not like orphans anymore, but we have the eternal children of God's family in all eternity, starting from earthly life. And nothing will separate us from the love of the Father who is in heaven for those who love Him. So if we truly know our Father whom we worship, there should be no place in our heart any fear for any anxieties or any depression or any doubt or any discouragement, because Father loves us and protects us. We always have to remember that, this relationship. And I know some of you have are blessed with your earthly father who is so protecting, so caring, and so loving. That's good. And for some of you, may not have these blessings of having great father, earthly father. Nonetheless, whether you have a good earthly father or not, the good news is that we have this Heavenly Father, whose love is surpassing all the love of all earthly fathers. We have Him. We have Him in our heart. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So be courageous and face your challenge in the love of your Father who is in heaven. And Second implication, Spirit is your helper. Spirit is my helper and our helper. Let him always be your guide. And ask him any questions. Ask him your direction. And ask him what to do next. And he will, he will welcomely guide you, whatever you ask him. So make him very intimate with in your spiritual life. And be spiritual, being controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit. And renew your mind by casting all fleshly, worldly desires in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And discern what is your spiritual worship all the time. And he will guide you to the right direction. And another implication, Jesus is the truth. And so take your stance based on his words, based on the scripture. Let Jesus' worldview be your worldview. Agree with him. And abide by his teaching at all times. And cast all wrong theologies that you endorsed somehow along the path, or correct it by endorsing Jesus' theological view. And you will be successful. And cast all immoral and unethical elements from your life, because if you remain in truth, you cannot really live in immorality or unethical life. Cast out anything that you can think of, cast out in the name of Jesus, and he will empower you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that the Father has sent. The true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that you sent your Son Jesus so that his words are written in the New Testament. And by looking at him, your Son, we know who you are. We may not see your face, but through Jesus, we can connect with you. And thank you that Jesus spoke the word of truth. And by that, we know which path to follow. And Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our sole object of worship. We are so comforted by your presence all the time. And may our life be always honor and glory to you. And may you receive all the glory at the end of the day, Father. If there's anything that in our heart that is not aligned with what you have taught through your scripture, Father, give us courage to depart from such life, to come back to you. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your indwelling ministry and empowering ministry in us. You are forever our guide, our helper, Jesus, sent. Another paraclete, another helper, another comforter, another advocate like Jesus, who is living in us forever. Thank you for your ministry. Oh Lord Jesus, we owe you for your Calvary. You willingly to bore the cross so that we would be able to come to the God as our Father because of the relationship that you have imparted to each one of us who believe in Jesus' name. O Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and the Spirit, we worship you forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your
Father, thank you for today's worship service, that new generation, next generation have come up to worship you with a true worship, I believe, in spirit and in truth. Bless this young man and woman to become a true worshiper for this generation and next generation to come, to reshape the landscape of Christianity. Father, we have hope because we have next generation. And Father, for our generation, Father, we pass this baton of faith to the next one, so that true worshipers continue to come arise from every corner of this country and all the nations, even faraway nations. They will raise up the banner of Jesus Christ for a global harvest. We look for the day that your presence is so strong and your worship is so strong and your glory is so overwhelming. Father, we wait for the eternal weight of glory, not just in the kingdom but also on earth, when your presence is so strong from us. Father, use each one of us to shine the glory that Jesus has shown to us. Father, we thank you for this worship, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and intimate and powerful fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.